Hey, it's therapist and relationship coach Micah Ross, and this is the How to Talk About It podcast. In my office yesterday, a couple exclaimed, "This is so stupid," while we were talking about some miscommunication about dishes. I get it. It sounds trivial, but I have found how we divide household and family-related tasks is about more than what's on the surface. It's about feeling respected, considered, like a priority, and even feeling seen, heard, understood, and not alone. Weird, right? Today, I sit down with my husband, Eric, to discuss our history of how we've divided household and family-related tasks. Spoiler alert, we didn't start out so well. If you don't already know, Eric tends to be a viral sensation on my Instagram page, doing the most ridiculous things in reels. So expect to be entertained. Also, he is sassy. Do we remember the past the same in terms of how we have come to the systems we have in place now? Not at all. And there are a couple cringy moments that I'm consciously choosing to leave in when we disagree. You decide whose memory regarding this stuff is more accurate. Even still, I hope this episode gets you thinking about this topic very differently and helps strike a lighter conversation about this strangely tough to talk about subject, dividing household and family-related tasks. Oh, and we reference a previous episode of the podcast with Dr. Caitlin Collins, motherhood sociologist and researcher. Be sure to check that out.
Welcome to the podcast. Every reel you show up in on my Instagram goes viral.
As it should.
So you might, if you follow me on Instagram, you might know Eric from his shirtless Mexican restaurant appearance. Or his stint as Babs, my hairdresser, when I color my hair and he colors the back.
So in 5 years, I've had two appearances. It's about right.
Yeah.
That tracks.
So this is sort of reminiscent of the first time we went to therapy.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of dragging you here.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I love social media.
What is it that you don't like?
No one cares what I'm doing. And if they do, it's weird.
Yeah, so the first time we went to therapy, we were engaged, and I was in a graduate school program to be a therapist, and I said, so we're going to do couples counseling, and you were shocked. You were like, why? But we don't have any problems.
No, I don't think I'd had any exposure to it, right? So I always think if therapy was like where you would go when your marriage is ending, was what I thought at the time, right? I didn't realize it's kind of an oil change where you should do some checkups and make sure things are okay before you go.
Preventative.
I didn't look at it that way.
Maintenance.
That's not what TV led me to believe it was.
TV in Iowa?
In the 1980s.
Yeah, so you said, but we don't have any problems. And I said, but we will. I still think about that. Like, how did you not see that one coming?
Oh, I know. I should have known I was going to have problems with you, but I didn't.
No.
Oh, that's not what you meant? Sorry. My bad. Like, she's a walking
I
problem.
Am a joy to live with.
Yes. After coffee.
Okay, so we've tried to do this podcast before. It didn't go well. What's your version of why it didn't go well?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing on these things. Nor do I know what I'm doing in general. So
I don't think that's it.
Well, you said different perspectives as to some stuff, because I don't see everything that you see. So I think that probably feeds into it.
Well, I think, yeah, that there's so much. So we're going to be talking about distribution of household and family-related tasks, amongst other things. But I think the first time we talked about it, I was shocked at how much you didn't see about that process of you kind of like moving from...
I don't know what I had for lunch yesterday, let alone what started 20 years ago. So you got to give me some grace
and maybe
here.
Maybe it's because I study it. But I like, you know, you asking me things like, is it bath night? Like where I was in the driver's seat in the parenting department and you were sort of in the...
Yeah, but even at that point, I was all... I mean, you were home more during the initial phase where I was out kind of running around. So sometimes I wouldn't know what happened the day before if I was gone or something. So
if you're not watching on YouTube, you should be, because there's going to be a lot of nonverbals going on here. So I was home a lot more. I was seeing clients 3 days a week. I was teaching two
no,
nights.
No, I'm thinking like at the very, 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 very beginning.
The night that you asked me, is it bath night? And I lost my shit.
She was five?
No. No, I was pregnant with our second. And so our first was almost 2 years old. It was...
Like I said, I don't know what I did last night, let alone...
No, I know. But like I think about this, and this is hard to explain, but how I sort of drag people out of this is exactly what I did with us. But the fact that even retrospectively, you can't see it. So you made a comment the last time we tried to do this when we were talking about how, you know, it was around the holidays and how dads don't even know, like, there's all these memes about how dads don't even know, like, what they're getting their kids, what's Santa's bringing. They're not doing the wrapping. They're not. And you were like, you hate all that. You hate that meme, that version of a meme, because you do quite a bit of that. And it really angered you.
I don't like the bumbling dad trope.
You don't like the bumbling dad trope.
Nope.
But you also don't know how you got out of that or remember a time when it was like that.
I remember one time at like the old house where it was real late. You were doing shopping and stuff, but wrapping was like so stressful. It was like right before Christmas and we were downstairs doing a ton of wrapping. And I remember not liking that. So you were like, you can do the wrapping. I'm like, okay, I'll do the wrapping. And then presents and stuff came later, but it was kind of like, I think the stress that I felt from like not things not being ready where it wasn't necessarily, I don't think you felt some of the stress with wrapping that I would, or I didn't like, I wanted to have things ready so we could relax on Christmas Eve and stuff.
I do not have the same recollection of how that went down.
No, you recall wrong.
I am a last minute kind of person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was stressful for me, but that's how I get stuff done.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you weren't like, okay, I'll take this over next year because I don't like the way this is being done.
No, I think I probably made some snide comment. You're like, then you wrap. And I'm like, all right, then I'll wrap.
Nope, that's also not.
That's how I remember it, which just means that's how it happened.
How it went was, I realized I was a total Grinch around the holidays. And I hated every second of it. I hate shopping. I hate wrapping. I hate decision making.
True.
I hate picking out gifts.
True.
And
true.
I would turn into, and everybody else would be like, why are you so crabby? What's wrong with you? And I'm like, well, maybe it's because I'm, you know, I don't know, doing another part to full-time job on top of what I'm already doing. And I want to like end up in an orange jumpsuit about it. And so I asked myself a question that I ask my clients quite frequently, which is, like, if I had $5 million in the bank, what would I do in this moment? And I would have hired somebody to shop and wrap. And so I looked at you and I was like, can you be in charge of wrapping this year? And you're, without skipping a beat, you were like, yep. And that was about 9 years into parenthood. Maybe a little, it was a little
less.
More. No, it was more because we were at the Jefferson House. It was
we were at the Jefferson House.
It was probably 2011.
No, we were in Lake St. Louis when that happened.
No. We were in the Jefferson House. It was not 2011. It was 2017 because the Christmas of 2018 still gets brought up in our house.
That was a fun one.
So the Christmas of 2017, you totally took over wrapping. I had to, if I was going to give you that ball, I had to not micromanage it. And that was really hard for me the first year. But your wrapping skills have improved.
It's because there's graph paper on the back of all wrapping paper, which is a godsend.
So I was I was handing you
don't remember
things.
It that way. Also not going to argue because I have no recollection of it at all.
So, but that was how it started too. So when you asked what night is bath night and I wanted to scratch your eyes out, because I'm like, I need you to know when bath night is. I don't want to be the knower of all the things. The next day I had a session with some clients and we were talking about a relative of theirs with an addiction issue. And I was, everybody understands like enabling and its role in addiction, right? Like the enabler is over functioning in that relationship, which is allowing the addict to under function. Make sense?
Yeah.
So as I was talking, in the back of my mind, it was hitting me like a bag of bricks that a lot of mothers, and I think our society plays a big part in this, society expects mothers to overfunction to the nth degree. So I was buying into all that, but I was overfunctioning and you were underfunctioning. I know that sounds insulting, but I was playing a part. And so when there's overfunctioning and underfunctioning in a system, the person who holds the power to create the most change is the overfunctioner refusing to overfunction. Not in the overfunctioner lecturing, teaching a lesson, trying to get the other person to fucking understand. Like, it's just in refusing to overfunction.
I do think there, like, if you're having, like, if I was doing baths some nights, you were doing baths some nights. I know the last time I did a bath, but I don't know when the last time that you did one. I think if there's two people doing the same task, sometimes it can get to be confusing. Because I don't know when you did it last versus what. So I think there's sometimes even, like, you know, an innocent question because I'm like, I did it, you know, a few days ago. I don't know when Micah did it last. And then you ask that question. Sometimes it's met with something that's, you know, it really is just like, but it's also in the phrasing of the question, like of when's bath night or when'd you give her a bath last? You know, like something different. I could have said something that was also a bad question by looking at you. But
I'm feeling irritated.
I know you always do.
No, I don't always do.
I don't think. I'm just saying. I think if there's like with me doing like laundry, right? Like I know when I'm going to do or what I'm going to do. Like, right.
Laundry is all yours.
Yeah. So I think that I can kind of I know my schedule when I'm going to do things. I think
so.
If
it
you
is
have
totally
two people doing
on your radar.
Yeah.
So when we started splitting nights, is when baths got on your radar. Because there were some nights that you were bath in bed and there were some nights that I was bath in bed. And that's how it got on your radar and off of mine for about half of the nights per week.
Yep.
But yes, and the research agrees, like when there's clear delineation in household and family related tasks, it sets the system up to communicate less. Like the person doesn't have to say, should I do the laundry now? Or does this need folded? Or like, it's just yours.
Yeah.
And so I never... I'm looking at the laundry. The laundry is not on my radar at all. I'm never...
Because I'm that damn good.
Well, I also suck at laundry.
Yes, true. Dirty chair and clean chair when we were dating. And she would have to do a smell test sometimes to see which chair was dirty and which chair was clean.
Well, because they
changed. Also been in her apartment sitting on the couch about 15 to 20 feet away from the washing machine when she would open it up to do a load of laundry. And I could smell the must from the laundry that was sitting in there for 5 days. So, yes, she really set herself up to not have to do laundry very on in the relationship.
You know, sometimes I use the Myers-Briggs personality type inventory to more efficiently get couples to wear, like, a long-term sustainable solution around household and family-related tasks. And you are a J. Your last letter is a J. You are an ESTJ. And I am an ENFP. I was not born to be great at details.
And you are a person who didn't want me to walk her to her car the first day we met because half of your closet was in the back seat.
Half of my closet was in the... I was in the middle of a move.
You had moved a long time earlier and you still had a disaster in your car.
I was in the middle of a month-long move.
So bad.
No, I'm allergic to putting away laundry. I can put the laundry in the wash. Is it going to get to the dryer? I don't know. In a timely manner?
I can answer that question. No.
Will it get folded? No.
But yet you get upset if there's a wrinkle in your shirt because it wasn't folded quick enough.
Well, at least I would lay it out. I might not fold it, but I would lay it out so it didn't wrinkle. I would rather it just be laid out on the bed and
chair,
not folded.
Chair.
Well, don't care. I mean, I get the clean chair, obviously. So anyway, no, I mean, but it was a process to, like, it is a never-ending, ongoing process. And I've been thinking about this, two things. I don't know if you remember this story.
Probably not.
But I had a friend who, she's got younger kids than we do, and we had already had three kids. And I was on the phone with her, she was pregnant with her first, and she was going into great detail about a road trip that she and her husband were going to take up the entire West Coast when they had a month-old baby. And I was listening, but I was like, yeah, that's
God,
not gonna
no.
happen. But you can't say that to
somebody. I remember
somebody.
Trying to go to Iowa one time with Blakely when she was a baby, and I think we might have made it 45 minutes away. And we were on the side of the road trying everything. We're just like,
I had my
going
boob
back.
In her mouth.
Yeah, I was like turning back around, I was like, can't do it. Nope. No.
Her screaming, sweaty, Yeah. No, but like there's just something about parenting or running a household and parenting that you can't understand until you're in it.
Yeah.
There's no amount of explanation. If I would have said, there's no way you're going to be able to do that, there's no amount of words that can teach about what that experience is like the experience, right?
Yeah.
So I think about this, like, I have couples in my office all the time. I spent a great deal of time trying to do with you until I tried the new strategy after losing my mind about bath night, which is, I think that the person, usually moms, they're trying to explain the mental load, or they're trying to explain like all that goes into an evening, or what it takes to like manage dinner and bath and bed and doctor's appointments and the dog. And like, they're trying to explain all that. And it gets heard as you're not doing enough and you're not doing it right. And then it gets met with defensiveness.
Sure. I could see myself doing that pretty easy.
Well, that's because it's criticism. Yeah. So, but it feels like the most intuitive thing to do. Like, let me just explain this to you. But I think it's like trying to explain to my friend, like, why she's not going to make it up the entire West Coast.
Not a chance in hell that's
like,
going to happen.
So now, you know more, I would say, about our kids' comings and goings and who needs picked up when. Like, you've got that schedule in your head, in large part because our kids have a lot of stuff on the nights that I work.
God, they always have.
It seems to fall on the nights that I work.
There were times where there were three soccer practices in a row and you were at work and I had to drop one off and drop another and pick them up.
Right.
And it was like 3 hours of circling around. It was horrible. Always on days where you work.
And I want to talk about the Caitlin Collins podcast. Her research validates.
Oh God, I laughed my ass off when I heard the part about everyone assuming that it was like a nanny or people being with their kids out in public in Sweden.
Right.
Because, and you've said this before, I used to just get so much praise for taking a child to the grocery store. Like, I was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and then you'd come home and be like, we're doing amazing. And I'm like, I'm drowning.
It was so funny.
I can't keep up. I can't do enough. That's what society's telling me.
I also remember one time where you, I think it might have been a Super Bowl party, or there was, you went to some place for watch a football game with some people from college, and they asked where I was at, and you said that I was home with our kids, and they said, oh, he's babysitting. And you said, no, he's being a parent. But it was the thought that since I was with my kids, I was
so
babysitting my own kids.
Well, this is the thing. Like, the part about, I had degrees in marriage and family counseling.
I did not.
You were very passionate about being an involved dad before I even had Blakely.
I had to change that first diaper. Oof, didn't know what that was going to be like. That's thick, nasty stuff. If you know, you know.
Oh, that meconium?
Yes. Oh, God.
I forgot about that word.
It's like a chisel trying to get it off of there.
It's
good,
like
visual.
Super
enjoy.
Thick and pasty?
It's just nasty.
I don't remember. We had the best of intentions, and even we didn't know how to not slide into those like super ultra traditional gender roles.
I do think there is, with a lot of parenting, it is really you kind of learn as you go. And yeah, I think everyone falls into certain things, like you're saying, right? Everyone's going to fall into their own things, but eventually those roles are going to have to change, because I think everything does fall on. If you look at what happens with like family medical leave, right? I had 2 days
yes.
or something like that when our first was born.
I mean, I had zero, but.
Well, I know, but it's like, you know, but I had to go back to work.
But
you know, like
it's so, right, but it was.
There's no process in place when we had our kids for me to even stay home to kind of get into a groove. So it's almost like I leave, everything falls on you. And then I'm playing catch up, and it takes a while to get caught up because you're so far ahead with what they need and what they know.
Yes.
And I can't do it. Where now, if you have a kid, most companies have paternity leave, at least companies that I've worked for, where you do get, even if it's like 2 weeks.
Is it more substantial?
Yeah. It's a couple weeks usually. Like you can take paternity leave.
I know, but it's not Sweden level.
No, it's not that, but it is getting more, because I do think there is a disadvantage when
totally
you are playing. It's almost like I was a passenger riding along for a little bit, even though I didn't want to be. I was a passenger, and it takes some time for that to change.
I was the driver, and I didn't want to be. So even though, and that's what I'm saying.
But that's the societal thing. That's just the way it's
even
set up.
Though we both didn't want to be, we still ended up there.
Sure.
Like that's what's wild. Like it's just like this gravitational pull. I'm sure there are pros and cons to living in Sweden, but man, I really think about the pros a lot. I mean, it just sounds like policy supports people seeing these roles differently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, I don't know what it is now, but the looks that I would get when I had one or two kids at the park, it was like I was, and everyone else there is moms or grandmas or something usually, and it'd be like, you're just amazing. It's like I literally drove two blocks and my kids are going down a slide and I'm sitting on a stool because they don't need me. Like, but it was like, you were amazing, you know, to do these things.
But at that time, do you think you realized that I didn't get those comments?
No, I have no idea.
I know, there was a day that I said to you, you'd taken the kids to the park, but there was something that I had asked you to do repeatedly. And you came home, and whatever that thing was, I realized it wasn't done again. And I was like, I'm getting frustrated, like this isn't done. And you got defensive, and you said, I do more than any other dad I know. And I said, but you don't do more than any mom I know. And that's the fucking problem. And you, I could see your whole brain do a pretzel when I said that. And I feel like something like shifted.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, it's, I don't, you know.
I think that.
Yes, ma'am.
Every family system is different. In our case, 50-50 works because we're both working the same amount outside the home.
Yeah.
And so 50-50 on the inside of the home works. But I understand that people, sometimes one person has a more flexible job, somebody has a less flexible. Like, I understand that 50-50 isn't always fair. But in our case, I do feel that way.
It is kind of funny, though, because, like, if I go out of town on the days where I'm normally in town, you're like, who needs to go where, when, what's what? Yeah. I've got to do what? Who's picking up? What's going on? I'm like, we've done this for 2 years. How do you not know this? But it is kind of like not on your radar.
You haven't done it.
I've done it, yes.
You have. And so it would never occur to me to leave on my nights and not communicate to you what needs to be done.
Tootie gets picked
you
up.
You're just like, bye. Like, how do you not put yourself in my shoes?
I don't know,
a minute, she's working.
At a certain point, it is like, it's, you know, these things are... for me, I'm like, they're on the calendar, you know? So in my mind, I'm like, the calendar, it's everything's on the calendar, so it should be okay. But I also have had it on the calendar and know, because that's my life on Monday nights, or that's my life on Tuesday nights. So I know.
But it's in the calendar, but
my...
I don't know if I'm picking up,
if
I'm dropping off, if I'm like, or
here she comes.
If you have arranged that because I'm working, like there's...
Yeah, no, I totally understand. The cat's moving.
The cat's rubbing on
She's rubbing the computer. here she comes. I do understand that, but it is one of those where, you know, like I'm saying, I know that this is the schedule, right? Like that I do this on Mondays, and that's just kind of how it is. Come here.
Yeah, I know it's, but no, you're so then when we start, sometimes, and I was thinking, this is the other thing I was thinking.
Oh, that's a scary thought.
So I got diagnosed with early menopause when I was 42, which means that probably since I was 33, I'd been having symptoms of perimenopause that just progressively got worse. And sometimes looked like 2 weeks out of every month, I had the energy to do my work, but I was pretty incapacitated outside of that in terms of fatigue, sleepless nights, having to sleep in. And I don't know, like I think about all these women in their 30s who have no idea what they're in for of perimenopause. Hopefully they have a doctor that's more responsive and believing of women than mine was. And they get the hormonal supports in place that they need before they actually have none. For a long time, and maybe even still a little, I do less because I couldn't do equal. And I am like, I don't think I say enough like how, and you didn't complain.
Oh, Holly. I mean, I also, I mean, it was, you can see when you were, I mean, you legit couldn't get out of bed, you know, like, and, you know, I knew, and the kids knew at a certain point, it's like everyone, it was time to be like quiet, mom's got to sleep, and I had it in place, luckily, where we could get everyone to and from school so you could rest, so it wasn't that big of a heavy lift for me. But I know how it could feel if I'm getting all three kids off to school and you're asleep, right? But
I felt so guilty.
But it wasn't like we had 4 and 5 year olds at that time either when you were hitting some of that. Like,
you know. I know, but you could have very easily been like, if you can't sleep, then just go to bed earlier. Like,
you could try that and then you wouldn't fall asleep. So it wasn't like you didn't, for lack of trying, try to figure things out. Shit, you couldn't. Like, you couldn't function at a certain point.
I know.
And yeah, I mean, was it a heavier lift for me? Sure. Did I also break my leg mountain biking and lie on a couch for 3 weeks not being able to move, and she had to give me a shower? Yes.
I'm an asshole about that, though. I'm like, why were you fucking mountain biking at 44? What were you, why did you, you thought that was a good idea to take that up at 44?
Wait till I start windsurfing at 47. Smart ass. Bungee jumping at 52.
God. No, and I've been thinking lately, like right now I feel like, yeah, I don't want to go out in the cold, but I do want to pick the kids up more. Like, I need you to like lay off that a little bit, because I like that time I get in the car with them, even though I don't want to do it because it's cold.
That's why they usually text me when they need picked up, because they know who's gonna come.
Well, I mean, there's been times that I've done it more, but somehow you just have gotten I feel like especially recently, kind of dubbed as the pickup guy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because there's usually those like 2 or 3 days out of the week where you can't, you know, depending on what it is. So it's always usually comes to me anyway. It's similar. I always think like I'll do kids' calendars for sports, school, you know, the things like that I put in.
You're blowing a lot of women's minds right now. They just exploded.
I have 3 unread emails on my phone. Micah legit probably has 4,622.
JP.
So based on our skill sets, it's better if I do calendars.
How did that happen?
Well, I think one time, like, I remember you asked me, you said, I need you to take it over.
Right.
And I was like, okay, fine.
So because, I feel like society gives it all to me. And then I'm shifting it to you.
I laughed with like some of our older kids. Like, the parents will text me if they need to coordinate something because they know that I do the calendars.
Well, for a long time they would text me.
There was one recently where one of Tootie's friend has texted you about something, and you had totally forgotten about it.
What?
And it was like a birthday party, and we were supposed to take everyone somewhere, but Tootie couldn't go because we had tickets somewhere. I can't remember where. And Tootie was like, Mom, I can't go. I've got so-and-so's birthday party. And you were like, I didn't know about this. She goes, she literally texted you about it yesterday. And you looked at your phone and you're like, oh, she did.
Well, and that's the thing with my job. I sometimes for 6-7 hours, I'm back-to-back with clients.
Yeah.
Like, if people are texting me, I'm not.
That's also why the kids will text me sometimes, too, because you can't respond if you're
right.
So that's just kind of by default. They, you know, have come to me for it, so. And I will sometimes respond, I'm in Arkansas, text mom.
Right, but there was a time when people would be only texting me. And it's like, I have to teach you how to treat me. I have to teach all of society how to treat me. Our kids' friends would only text me about play dates. And I would be like, look, I work on Monday. And once somebody texted, like, your schedule's just so confusing. I just never know who to text. And I'm like, just put both of us on a text. Like, never just text me and never just text him. Put both of us on a group text. And then you're problem solved.
Someone's going to see it.
But like I had to teach school to send you the emails. Oh, I had to
They would call you first. Even though it's said to call me first, they would always call you first.
And I had to, you know, we'd get invitations for birthday parties. I would get it and I would forward it to, you know, it's like it's all coming at me and I'm distributing it for some period. Like there is this mental load of being the receiver of all the expectations, because I do think that in our culture, you're getting praise for taking the kids to the park. I don't get any praise for that because it's just expected.
I think I got praise because I'm so good at taking them to the
park. Like people are, like women's minds are blown that you handle all kid school and sport related emails, all kid related emails. You're sifting through those. You're putting things in the calendar. And when I say that to people, I'm usually met with like women looking at me with like their chins on their chest. But that wouldn't happen if I said I managed our kids' calendars. Like they would just be like, yeah, of course. Like the expectations are just so low for you. So you do anything and it's
that's
like,
that's great, because then I can really exceed expectations because they're really low.
So not mine.
So, man, you should be a male. It's awesome. You can't hit me because you're on camera.
What else do we need to cover? What else did you like about that Caitlin Collins episode?
I don't. It's really interesting when you think about how different places are set up. Like I have the right to be involved with my kids. There was one time when our kids were little, where I think we had three. I can't remember.
I told you I was going to take away your rights.
No. This was from work, where my territory kept getting bigger. And my manager at the time said, you need to do this because, and there were two ladies that were also there, they have kids and need to be home. But it was like, your territory is going to change this huge thing because you don't need to be home with your kids, but the two ladies do. I was like, this is some bullshit.
Was that your manager that called Branson the Christian man's Vegas?
No, that was a different guy. Okay. That was fun.
Okay, don't go into that.
Poor man's Vegas.
Yeah, but yeah, the expectation is like, oh, I got to get these moms home to their kids. Like, yeah.
I don't need to be home.
Because you have a wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait a minute.
But that's the expectation at a certain point, right? It's like you're... Even work thinks, well, you don't need to be home. I'm like, well, I have to be home on these 2 days because I'm getting a kindergartner off the bus, you know? And you're like, well, you don't have to do that. Well, my wife's at work. This is my day to get the kid off the bus. Like, that's how it works. Like, we have to have some of these things.
It's just so, like, for things to feel fair, it's so much work.
Oh, you're fighting an uphill battle.
Right.
All the time, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, obviously our kids are older, so things are easier that way. But for me to get time off because of things like at work is now much easier too, where you can be like, hey, I've got, you know, got to take the kid to the doctor. And there's no like, it's like, okay, you know, like everyone seems to understand.
Do you think that's now, or do you think that's just like the company that you're with, or?
Why won't she leave me alone? Sorry, the cat is in my face.
We don't need to apologize. We have a cat on the counter. They're not here to eat.
I think some of that's societal. I do. I think that it's changed a little bit.
You think our society is expecting more of dads? I don't know that they are.
I think that work is allowing people to get more time. I don't think that they're expecting more. I mean, you'll see there's Major League Baseball players that will take off and miss a game because they're having a child born, and then fans will be pissed that they skipped the game. And they're quitting on the team. It's like, you're having a kid, you dick. Like, just stop. But, oh, how dare he miss this playoff game because I'm not going to go to a World Series. He should have skipped the birth of his first child. It's like some of that's like a little silly, right? But I do think that more people are more companies are allowing dads to take more time. Are the dads taking the time? That's probably a different story.
Yeah.
But at least it's not 2 days and then go back to work.
So... I think it'd be helpful if we just sort of go back and forth about things that are all ours, like our specific household and family related.
My list is going to be too long.
I think that just would be helpful for people to hear. So you go first.
Since the cat is here, feeding the animals.
Oh, I didn't consider that. Why do you do that?
Because they would starve if I didn't feed them.
I think it's because you just get up first.
I'm up first, so I feed them, and yeah, it's usually, that's really why.
Meal planning.
Making the bed.
Vacation planning.
Vacation going.
Doesn't count.
Oh, damn it. Laundry.
Figuring out the emotional needs of our kids, I feel like heavily falls on me.
You're also a therapist.
Yeah. I'm not saying it shouldn't.
Saving, like, retirement money.
Spending. Buying couches. And things for the house. Decorating our home. Interior designer.
Kids like doctor's appointments, like physicals and stuff like that.
We both do that.
Not anymore. You do dentist, I do doctor.
I take the kids to the doctor.
I schedule the annual checkups.
I take Blakely to the psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. I just said annual checkups. It's not a competition.
No, but I feel like medical appointments as a whole, we split now. I take the girls.
Sometimes I try to schedule on a Wednesday so you can take the kids, but if not, sometimes I'll have to take the girls too, which is always kind of weird.
Yeah, that's getting kind of hairy, because when we're both involved, then I feel like we miss stuff.
Yeah.
Cleaning, deep cleaning, giving things homes, home organization.
Well, even there, like last week, I think it's also like I can see if you have too much to do. So like last week you were trying to do these, I'm like, I'll clean the bedroom. And you're like, well, I was going to do it. I'm like, but I have nothing else to do. I'll go ahead and do it so you don't have to.
Right, there is this point where you're like, we hit a Sunday and my list is overflowing. And you're like, I just plan to read and watch football. And I'm like, well, I'm probably not going to stop today. I've got to go to Costco and Trader Joe's and then pick up the two things that they don't have from another store. And then I've got to clean the bathroom and the bedroom. And you're like, I'll take the bedroom. Like, there is this, like, you know, like, noticing of and figuring out, like, how are our butts going to hit the couch at this similar time?
Well, I feel, so a lot of my stuff, I feel like, is kind of daily things sometimes.
Right.
And your things usually take longer, like going to the grocery store, right? That's going to take longer, even though you're doing it, you know, once a week or whatever the case may be. That's a big-ass long
thing
sometimes.
You do, like, every day.
Yeah.
Icky, I can't stand that stuff. So like the everyday adulting.
There might be a day where all my stuff is done, right? Like you're saying, and like, well, I can go to the grocery store or I can do this because in that way we can do something together instead of you running around and being, you know, busy all day long. So
Monday and Tuesday, you cook dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever cooks dinner does not clean up. The other person and the kids clean up. I know I'm going to clean up from yesterday.
Sometimes that happens. Last night and other nights, I just do the damn dishes too. Some nights.
So Monday and Tuesday, because I'm working, you cook. Or like we make something big on Sunday and serve leftovers for Monday.
Yeah.
Usually it's expected that I cook or we both cook like Wednesday, Thursday. And then we usually like Friday and Saturday, one night we cook, one night we go out.
Some nights you're just getting like, all right, we're cleaning the fridge out, y'all. It's time to eat it now. They'll be like, oh, I don't like the leftovers. You ate it yesterday.
We both take care of our own cars.
Sure. Well, I have a company car. I don't do anything.
What about like house maintenance? I do landscaping.
And I
cut the grass.
Trash. I mean, that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, once again, the day-to-day kind of adulting-y stuff.
There was a time. So when I first started this, when I first realized that, okay, I've got to stop over-functioning, and I've got to just be, because I know all I know about communication. I can't come off as critical. I can't come off as teaching a lesson. So I'm just going to get really clear about one thing that could be all yours. And the first thing I started with was just, I need you to be the clipper of all the nails.
Mm-hmm.
And for a long time, you were the clipper of all the nails. And
I was also scared shitless the first time I cut Blakely's nails because I thought I was going to kill her with the fingernail
clippers.
It wasn't
Blakely, it was Kyan.
No, I did Blakely's before.
And I said, and you said, I can't. When I first proposed this, and I said, what do you mean? And you said, well, I'm gonna cut him. And I said, yes, I was afraid of that too, and I have, and there is a learning curve, and you will figure it out. and I quit cutting his nails. Were there days that you maybe weren't doing it on my timeline and he scratched his face off? Absolutely. Did I pick
that's
up?
That's on him.
Part of not overfunctioning is refusing to pick up a dropped ball. Did I put a little sock on his hands so he didn't scratch his face the rest of the day? And then I waited for you to get home, and then I looked at you and said, "Oh, he's got a really bad scratch on his face." I remember you ran to go get the, and then from that moment on, once it is off somebody's radar, it can truly be on somebody's radar. And there are some, like, the psychology of group dynamics that are at play here. If you're trying to have something on both people's radars, it turns into every group project you ever did in school. Like, you're going to be running the show and doing all the work and hating everybody else's guts.
I remember writing projects for school. It's like, I'll just do it.
But we were both those people in school, but society sets it up so that the moms are that person. And then we get labeled as nagging and critical, and then men get labeled as bumbling, incapable idiots. And it's like this caricature of marriage that just gets magnified.
I'm not bumbling. I'm just an incapable idiot.
You're not an incapable.
Just an idiot? You didn't say you're not an idiot. You're not
the most efficient human, but...
I beg to differ.
And sometimes you like to blow leaves when all of the inside of the house looks like a bomb went off. But
not my problem. I'm outside. I got leaves to clean. You're inside.
Why do you care about the leaves so much?
Why do you care about the baseboards so much?
It's probably all societal.
Yeah.
I mean, do you feel like people are looking at our leaves in front of our house and judging you about it?
No, I think I do it just because, especially like out back, before I was like, I wanted to keep drains and stuff clean. So I'm always cleaning it off. It's a lot of that too.
Yeah. Were you this on top of blowing leaves at our last house?
Nope. Raked them, so we didn't have a blower that I used back then. Here, cleaned the damn leaves up.
Oh, we had that blower. I bought that thing.
I didn't use it then.
That's something I used to be in charge of, spraying for bugs.
Should have. If I had a video of that get up that she wore for that, for crying out loud.
I got a quote for spraying for mosquitoes, and it was midway through the season. And they prorated the quote. And I was like, are you sure that's the prorated quote? Or is that for the whole... And they were like, nope, that's prorated. And I was like, there's no way I'm paying that.
And instead of paying it, it only cost her pride.
And then I got online because they told me they used some garlic solution. They had a natural option. And I was like, well, I want that. And they told me they used some garlic solution. I dug around the depths of the internet. I found this stuff that they use. And I bought a backpack fogger. And I would get dressed. Right. I had earplugs. I had goggles. I had a hat. I was covered from head to toe.
I had multiple layers
of pants.
Like a bandana covering your face, your hair. It was just insane.
And for probably half that price, I did our yard and all our neighbors' yards. It looked insane while doing it. We have problems. I have problems.
There you go.
I love to start projects, and you love finishing them.
You love to, yeah. Well, I don't think I love to finish them. I love to have them finish so it's not lying around.
Yes, you like to finish things, but you don't like starting things.
I don't like to finish. I have to finish because you won't finish.
Yes. I like to get things 88% done.
And then walk away.
And then be like, see ya. That worked well when we were renovating that house because you wouldn't have started anything and I was taking crowbars
I'm cheap as hell. Yeah, and that was not necessary, girl.
It looked a lot better when it was done, did it not? Had crappy
when I came home and she had a sledgehammer and a crowbar.
You didn't come home. It was during an ice storm. You were upstairs and you heard clank, clank, and you ran downstairs and you were like, stop! And I was like, it's too late.
Well, because then we'd normally do something and we'd find a hole. That was like, oh, fuck. Now I gotta clean this or we gotta more to fix up.
You're more risk averse. I'm like,
you're more
on.
Insane.
I'm like, jump and the net will appear. Crowbar and the better brick will appear. Okay. I think we did it.
High five.
We're not going to fight after. We got in a fight after the last one. It was a multi-dayer. So I didn't feel understood, and it was wild.
What'd you say?
It was a lot to take in. Goodbye.
Negotiating household and family-related tasks is not a one-time talk. It's an ongoing, never-ending conversation about what's working, what's not working, and what needs to shift and change. And as a couples therapist, I find it's one of the hardest things to talk about, and it really seems like we're set up to fail in this department. This is why I've created a workshop that includes the tools necessary to divvy all this up without drama. Eric and I rattle off a few of our delineated responsibilities in this episode. So many were not included. As you might know, the amount of tasks that it takes to run a household and family is a lot. The workshop includes an editable task spreadsheet with over 100 tasks organized by frequency and columns for all sorts of details like expectations and preferences, who is managing the task, and even a column for who is actually doing the task, which might be different than the manager if you're delegating to kids or outsourcing. This resource gives everyone the clarity they need to be successful. We also include a parenting schedule, which I'm often working through with not planning to divorce parents, to give everyone clarity about when each person is on, off, or both on as parents. This helps keep one person from sliding into the 100% go-to parent role and ensures everyone gets breaks and at least a day to sleep in. Finally, we include a weekly meeting outline. Like I said in the beginning, this may be a never-ending talk, and I'm a big fan of setting aside time for communicating. But we don't just want to do this willy-nilly or have it feel like you're headed into the principal's office. So we've included an outline for you to stay on track and get to meaningful and sustainable solutions quickly. For more info, head to micaross.com/workshops or check the links out in the show notes.